So why don't we pray together for God to speak to us, and let's focus on God, and hopefully later I can get to know you more after the service. But our Father, this is a wonderful passage, but it's also complicated, so we pray for wisdom and insight from your Spirit. We pray that you would speak to us powerfully, show us Jesus, show us the gospel, and increase our view of what you have done. Father, please, you know what each of us needs. Speak to our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. I think I preached for you once before, but that was kind of on camera, right? Yeah. Which was not as nice as just being here in person. So, yeah, it's really great to be here. And it's a complicated passage. But, I don't know, let's think about what are the biggest events in history. So, I don't know what you would say. What has been the most significant event in history? You know, I tried to look it up on the internet. Of course, people don't agree. Would you think of like the printing press? Imagine the impact that has had on the world, right? What Gutenberg, when he made this, and now there are books going around the world, how much it has changed everything. I mean, if you're maybe, you go to school. Imagine if you were not able to have books in school. What would school be like? Or if people hadn't invented writing. You know, how about the invention of the internet? Things that really have changed the world in so many ways. Or political events, right? What if Hitler had never been born? I think the world would be a different place, right? Sometimes huge things have happened, just sometimes through one guy, it had a big impact on the whole world. Of course, that doesn't always affect our life very much, right? We just live our life and we're busy with work and family and just going through the day and the chores and the things we need to do without actually stopping and standing still. That's actually huge things have happened in the world that have changed the world. And I don't know what the cross is like for you, what the gospel is like for you. Is that something that you know about it and you kind of know that it's supposed to be important, but actually you live your life day to day and actually... You're just busy, right? It doesn't play much of a role in your life because you're just, working and school and all that stuff. Well, today Paul wants to give us such a great view of what Jesus has done, something that should change completely who we are, how we see the world, how we see God, how we see everything. That is what he wants. That is, it's a huge passage in Romans. In a way, when I saw that this is the next passage Shannon is doing, I said, can I preach on this? Because this is just such a, it's a complicated passage, but there is such amazing things here. And it's going to be an important passage in Romans. It's going to set up some things that you're going to come back to the next few weeks. But it's a fascinating passage. It's just very complicated. So what are we going to do? Let me just give first a little overview. Okay, so what is this really about? And then we can hopefully see it more clearly. Now, as you've heard, probably it's about Adam and Christ. Yeah? Paul is comparing what Adam did and what Christ did. And if you're not familiar with the Bible, this is probably one of those stories you have heard, right? Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And they had everything, but they sinned. They disobeyed God. They ate the fruit that they were not supposed to eat. And God had said, well, if you eat from this fruit, you will die. And they lost the life of paradise. They were sent out of the Garden of Eden, lost all his blessings, and one day would die. We know that, right? That is the big event. As we'll see, is a huge event. But then what Jesus did as well. And actually, he starts that comparison already in verse 12, right? Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, right? Adam's sin brought sin into the world. And then actually he stops and verse 18, he continues again, right? Verse 18, therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. That's when he continues his comparison. He just breaks it off. So if you're wondering where is he going, verses 13 and 14, he gives some background information. Four usually explain something. And then 15 to 17, actually in some ways they're similar, but they're also different. But the free gift, it's not like the trespass. In some ways it's different. Okay, so that's where we're going. I'm going to compare Adam and Christ like Paul does. Talk a little bit about some of the other things, because anyway, there's so much in here. And I don't want to preach for an hour, so I'm going to preach for half an hour. So if you have any questions, please ask me later. But that's what we're going to do. And I think what Paul wants us to remember, well, first of all, Adam changed the world, right? Adam changed the world. There's a reason why we emphasize Adam, right? I mean, this is probably the event with the biggest impact on the whole world. Genesis 3, the fall, right? Because what happened? Well, verse 12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Right? Death, sin and death came to everyone through Adam. Right? Adam, yeah, one guy who ate the fruit. But sin and death came everywhere. The world was broken. The world was cursed. A natural disaster, suffering, all of that came into the world. Because of what Adam did, every human being who has ever lived has died. Right? All because of Adam. Every human being has suffered, all because of Adam. Every animal that you see, we love animals, all of them have died, right? So far in all these years, all because of Adam. Can you imagine any event that has caused the death of so many billions of people as Adam's sin, right? It's I can't say greatest, it's the worst event in history, right? It has had such an impact on the whole world. The whole world suffered and died through sin, through what Adam did. This is the biggest, one of the biggest events in history. And even more as we consider, so how does that actually work? Yeah, because it's a bit of a confusing sentence. So death spread to all men because all sinned. Yeah, how is it that Adam's sin affects us? That's something we need to think about because it's going to be important when we get to the cross. It's what's called the doctrine of original sin. I don't know if you heard that phrase, original sin. It's Adam's sin was the original sin, right? The first sin. But how does that affect us? What is the relation between what Adam did and our sin and our death? And basically, when people read this, they come up with three different options, right, that we need to go through. First of all, one option is just as Adam as an example, right? Adam, he sinned and he died, and, well, we also sin and we die. We die for our sin, right? We die through what we do wrong. Now, of course, it's true that we sin, but is that really what's going on here? Because if Adam was just an example, it's not that significant, right? Then my death is not really because of him. It's just for my own sin. And, well, if it's just my sin, maybe some of us make a different choice. We don't sin like him. We don't die. But the Bible seems to say that, well, everyone is affected by Adam's sin, right? So it's not just an example. So that's wrong. But what is the other option, maybe? Well, our sinful nature, right? Adam, when he sinned, he got corrupted, right? His heart, you know, there was something wrong with his heart. And like DNA, he passes that on to every human being, right? We have a sinful nature now. That's true, the Bible says. And you could say, well, he infected all of us in a way with a sinful nature, and now we all die because we sin through our sinful nature. Again, that's true. But at the same time, that feels, is that really here? I mean, in a way, it's right, because it says, right, at verse 19, for as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. And many people became sinners through Adam. But actually, how about people who don't really sin? I mean, in a way, we're all sinners, but sometimes some people, they don't really sin. Think of, okay, so if this happened to you, it's a terrible thing, right? A miscarriage where a baby dies. Well, why does that feel so wrong and so that this shouldn't be? Well, because that baby hasn't done anything, right? The baby has never sinned, in a way. It may have a sinful nature, but it's never sinned. Why should they die? Well, some people, it's a human being, but they have never really sinned. Why do they die? Yeah, because it says they are under death. And in a way, that's where Paul goes, because he, verses 13 and 14, he wants to explain that. Yeah, he says, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. And yet death reigned from Adam to Moses. He's going to Moses. Moses, of course, God gave the law. And he said, well, if you do these things, you will die. And if you break one of those commandments, yeah, you should be punished. But what if there's no commandments? What if people sin, but they don't have a command from God? Well, it's not law-breaking. Why should they die? They haven't really broken any laws. And yet death reigned. People die without breaking an explicit law. Why do some human beings die who haven't really done anything wrong? And so most people agree, actually, it's not this. There's a third option, and that is that we became sinners not in nature but in status. It's like we share Adam's guilt. Right? When Adam sinned, he became guilty, but he made all of us guilty. We as human race are guilty. It's like he is the head of the family, and what he gets, we all get. Right? I'm the head of my little family. When I got a visa for Hong Kong, we all got visas for Hong Kong. That's how it works, because I'm the head. I'm the representative. Or representation. In December was the World Cup. So at some point, we had some match between the Netherlands and the U.S. And I think that week, I met with Pastor Shannon, and I said, hey, I'm really sorry about Saturday. Now, why did I say sorry? Right?
Because we're terrible.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of predictable that the Netherlands would win. But hey, it's just 11 guys against another 11 guys in Qatar playing on a field. It had nothing to do with us, right? We were just sleeping. Why would I have to say sorry to him? Well, because they are our representative, right? Those 11 Americans on the field, they represented 350 million Americans, including Pastor Shannon. And so when they lost, Pastor Shannon lost. And when, right? I mean, that's how representation worked. And he had nothing to do with it, but he gets the defeat. Right? And so in a way, that's original sin. We were all on Adam's team. We were all humans. We're on the team of humanity. When he lost, we all lost. And his guilt is our guilt. And because we are guilty, we are under the power of death. I think that's what the Bible would say, that is why there is the power of sin and death in the world. It affects us. And in a way, that sounds very unfair, right? I had nothing to do with it. Adam sinned, and I become guilty, and I die. Well, we'll hold that thought, because we're going to come back to it. Although, in a way, so many things are not my choice, right? I was born in the Netherlands and not in Africa. I had nothing to do with it, but my life is very different. Right, I was born in the 20th century and not in the 15th century. I had nothing to do with it, but life isn't always fair. But actually, we're going to come back to this. But I hope you can see now how huge it is, right? Adam sinned, and through what he did, all of us will die. Every human being ever has died. Billions of people have died, all because of Adam. We live our life. We work, and maybe some great things like getting married or having children. Some days are not so good. But there is this shadow of death, right, living over all our lives. Everything we do, we know that we won't live forever. Everywhere around us and on the news, we see that this world is just lying under the power of death. That is what Adam did. And that's terrible. And yet, right, Paul says that was only one person. But verse 14, he was a type of the one to come. Jesus is going to be, he did the same thing. One man, a huge action. Because now, since, 2,000 years ago, Christ changed the world. Christ changed the world. Right? The gospel it reverses this terrible thing. The cross has changed the world. Right? So verse 18, therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. All men means all people, by the way, all mankind. For as by the one man, one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Right? Just like one sin brought sin and death to millions. Now, one act of righteousness, the cross, as Jesus hung there and paid for our sin, he brought righteousness and life to to everyone, to all who belong to him, right? There's now 1 billion Christians in the world. Isn't that amazing? You know, Jesus, just one man on a cross, bringing life and righteousness to billions. I mean, for the Paul and the Romans, that wasn't that big yet. I don't know, that was only 30 years after the cross. You know, 30 years is not a long time in world history, right? We don't know yet all the damage that COVID has done. We will see that in 100 years, what an impact that has had on the world. You know, when Paul wrote this, there were maybe 30,000 Christians in the whole world, less than in a mega church, right? Because, you know, the gospel had only just started out of 150 million. But, you know, it didn't seem that world-changing. But now, think about it, right? 1 billion Christians, all having eternal life through what Christ did. Isn't that so huge, right? Can imagine there's all this Jew and Gentile tension in the Roman church. Well, how about the law? Wasn't that huge, right? Millions of Jews knowing God. Verse 20, now the law came in, to increase the trespass, right, after Adam. But that just made it worse. It turned sin into actual law-breaking. But no, the law, that was not the big thing. The big thing was Jesus, because that's when grace came into the world. Verse 21 ends with, you know, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I mean, Paul has this very interesting way of speaking, right? He talks about the reign of sin and death. I mean, Adam, of course, he was the father of humanity, and Christ is the start of a new humanity. That is how big this is, right? A new humanity, a new mankind. But actually, the language here is that of reigning. In the Chinese reading, I saw the character for king a few times, right? Wang. Reigning is what a king does. So Adam brought the kingdom of sin and death, right? Verse 14, yet death reigned. Verse 17, death reigned. Verse 21, as sin reigned in death. It's like sin and death are the kings, the terrible kings of this world. But Jesus, well, grace, a new kingdom of grace and life. Grace and life that are just like a power, like a king that controls this new world that Jesus has made. All achieved in 3 hours on the cross. Right, as he paid. A new kingdom of grace and life for billions of people. That is what Jesus has done. Isn't that so great? You know, it's so amazing. Of course, there's some differences, right? So verses 15 and 17, I won't go much into it. Paul says, okay, they're kind of different. I think the different thing is, of course, that it's not automatic. Adam was very automatic, right? There was this law that if you sin, you die, and so he sinned and he would die. That was very much automatic, just justice. But of course, the gospel is very different. First of all, it's really God's initiative, right? Verse 15, if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many, right? The gospel is not automatic. It's a free gift of grace, of amazing grace, because, you know, look at all that sin. Verse 16, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. Right? Adam did one sin, and look at the consequences of sin. And then when Jesus died, right, we've had thousands of years of millions of people sinning. What did God do? He sent his son to die for us and save us, right? I mean, it's amazing grace. And just like it's not automatic from God's side, it's his grace from our side. Well, we need to receive it. I mean, it says, yes, Jesus brought righteousness to all. But who is the all? It's not all every human being, right? It's not all humans. It's all who belong to him. And with Adam, yeah, we all belong to Adam just by being born a human. But how do we belong to Jesus? Well, verse 17, those who receive the free gift of grace and the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness. If we receive the gift, we belong to Jesus. That's what we need to do. If we want to be in the kingdom of grace and life, we receive, we need to receive the gift. But when we are there, we are in the kingdom. We belong to Christ and we have grace and life. And what does that do? I mean, again, it's amazing, right? We should worship Jesus for what he's done. But I think day to day, if we think of the gospel like this, right, from one kingdom to another, it should give us incredible assurance. Right? We sang about blessed assurance. The thing is, you know, so often the cross is a small part. I don't know how you feel about being a Christian, right? We talk about, I need to get to heaven. And so, yeah, I know I started with the gospel, but of course I need to follow Jesus and I need to avoid sin and I need to keep trusting him and live the Christian life and then I get to heaven. So there's a very big focus on what I need to do, right? But it is not this passage. This passage says, I was in the kingdom of sin and death and now I'm in the kingdom of life. I'm there, right? And it's not this all this work I need to do. The cross, it just brought grace and life to billions. And, you know, I don't need to add anything. I mean, the thing is, that is how this is like original sin. All right, original sin that sounded, okay, you know, Adam died and we all became guilty and we had nothing to do with it. And that sounds terrible. Actually, isn't that the same as the cross? Right, the cross, Jesus obeys and we get eternal life and we don't do anything for it. Right, it's exactly the same. Original sin and the cross go together. If Adam was just an example, and I need to, you know, if I sin, I die, then maybe Jesus was just an example, right? Jesus obeyed and he was raised from the dead, so maybe if I obey perfectly, I'll be raised from the dead. That's not the gospel. No, right? Original sin, I had nothing to do with, in a way, I have nothing to do. I still sin, of course, but ultimately my death comes through Adam. And so in the same way, my life comes through Jesus, and he's done it all, And isn't Adam's work effective? I mean, how effective was original sin? How many people who belong to Adam have died? 100%, right? Is that saying that there's two certainties in the world, death and taxes? Right? Everyone dies, 100%. Well, if the cross is the same, if you belong to Jesus, how many Christians will have eternal life? 100%, right? It's just as if it is nothing about me. I got Adam's guilt. I get Jesus' righteousness. Right? That is the wonderful thing of the gospel. And it means I don't have to worry. Right? I'm in the kingdom of grace and life. I've trusted in Jesus. I already have it now. I don't need to get to heaven. I'm already part of it. I belong to Jesus and 100% eternal life. Right? You know, sometimes we have a great day and we feel close to God. And sometimes we have a bad day and we don't feel very close to God. I know what it feels like. Hey, you are in the kingdom. It's nothing to do with what kind of day you've had. It's all about what Jesus did. And sometimes you have a good day and you're thankful that, you know, you've managed to be patient and godly. And sometimes you have another day where you sin again and you despair. Doesn't matter, right? Because you are in Christ. Right, you belong to his kingdom. You have eternal life, all because of him and nothing to do with your contribution. Isn't that, you know, we can just relax in a way, right? We belong to Christ. We have full assurance through what he did. I don't need to worry about it. And that changes our life, right? We can, well, many of us, we get on with other things, but actually, you know, right, I belong to Jesus. I fully belong to him. I don't need to worry about getting to heaven. I have it all. Not because of anything I've done, because of Jesus. It's so great. But it does mean that I now should change, right? Because I now should have it gives me a very different perspective on my life. I mean, the gospel is huge, right? And the gospel is a kingdom of grace and life for billions of people. All right? It's completely changed me and moved me from here to there. I don't know how you think of the gospel. So it's sometimes we explain the gospel to people in a very small way, right? The bridge diagram. And here is one little person who, moves from, wants to get to God. Or, you know, the four spiritual laws. You know, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. I mean, that's true, but that is such a small view of the gospel, right? Or I don't know, does anyone ever talk about the gospel? You need to receive Jesus as your personal savior. Now, that's true, right? Because we need to individually respond to Jesus. But my personal savior sounds like a personal assistant to me, right? I don't know. It sounds like Alexa. Right, Alexa, can you set a 15-minute timer? Jesus, can you help me with my marriage or with my work, right? You know, Jesus, the personal savior. Jesus is not just a personal savior, right? He is God who came to open up a kingdom of grace and life for billions of people. And he's not just my personal savior. I mean, I don't know how you... Right, so often the gospel is just a small part of my life. I have my life and everything, and actually my life is just a very small part of the kingdom. That's how I should see it. Right, I'm just a very small thing, and this is really not about me. This is about Jesus and his plan for the whole world. Right, it's not about. Right, if I see this, then I will live differently. I will suddenly see my life. Actually, I'm different. I now belong to this kingdom, and I'm no longer what I used to be. Actually, the gospel is so much greater, right? That is something this passage will set up. I guess you're going to come back to that next week. You know, the gospel is actually far greater. And actually, it's not just about me. Final reason why actually we go to Adam. I mean, why does Paul focus on Adam? Well, because Adam is about all humanity, right? This is about God's mission. Right? As you may remember, Romans, ultimately it's a mission and support letter, right? Paul wants the Romans to support him as he goes on mission work. Because the thing with Adam is, he was all humanity. And so every human in the world is affected by Adam. Every nation in the world is under the power of sin and death. Every one of them. Even the nations you don't even know about, they are under the power of sin and death through Adam. And yet every nation in the world, if they hear about Jesus, if they receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness, can have eternal life. Right? That's why Paul says, now, let's forget about Moses. Let's go back to Adam. And let's not just talk about Israel. No, the gospel is so much bigger. It's not just about your life. It's not just about CBIBC. It's not just about Hong Kong. You know, this is for the whole world. Just like Adam affected the whole world, Jesus can affect every human being in the whole world, if they respond to the gospel, right? So, yeah, let's change our perspective on our salvation, on our daily life, on who we are, and on what God is doing in the world. So, yeah, and that we would celebrate and encourage and pray for and support in the mission that God is doing, right? The gospel is so much bigger than we think. This is a big thing. Why don't we just take a moment? Just reflect on some of the things we've heard, and then I'll pray and hand back over. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are so great. We are so small. We praise you for the incredible work you did, the new kingdom of grace and life for billions of people who don't deserve it, who don't deserve any of your love, and yet you came and died. Lord, would we see that, what it means for our life, what a great thing you've done. Forgive us when we're so busy with other things, and don't let this color our life, when we're worried about how well we're doing as a Christian, forgetting that we already have everything, that we run after the things of the world rather than sharing what you are doing. Please open our eyes. Help us to rejoice in this great news. Rejoice in the gospel. Rejoice in the life we have, in the free gift of grace, the free gift of righteousness. And then, yeah, with thankful hearts. To live differently, to live for you, to live in this world with your perspective and your priorities. In Jesus' name. Amen.